It started out as a normal day for Cindy. The flu bug had been going around. Her sister and family had recently been sick, so Cindy was not concerned about feeling a little weak and lightheaded. She thought she just needed some water, maybe a little rest. When she went up a set of stairs, she was a little more out of breath than usual, but again, she just chalked it up to perhaps that she was coming down with something herself. As she sat down at the kitchen table, she noticed some pain in her neck and back. I guess it must have been those boxes that I moved yesterday, she said to herself. What she didn't realize is she was having a heart attack. She knew that because it was 3 days later when she woke up in the hospital that her husband told her, I heard you crash to the floor from the chair. You had passed out. I called 911 and then had to perform CPR on you. For all means and purposes, you were dead. You had died. Your heart has stopped, and we brought you back to life. Cindy's head was spinning. She couldn't believe it. She realized that that was going to be a day that's going to change everything for her. There are many people who experience very similar stories to Cindy, and just like her, they look back on a day of their heart attack and say, this is a day that has changed everything for me. For some people, they start to see each day as a gift and try to make the most of it. Using stories from healthtalk.org, as I went and looked for stories of how a heart attack affects people, there's lots that people shared. One man reports that he no longer gets angry with his kids ever since his heart attack because he didn't want the last memory that his kids have of him is that to be angry. So he no longer gets angry with his kids. Another person shares that they started to cut down on work and started to spend more time with family. One woman said that she stopped focusing so much on household chores. Now, she would get to chores, but only once she got to other things that she wanted to do with the day. And if there was more time in the day, then she went and did the household chores. And then here's this quote on how a heart attack changed one person. Quote, I don't worry anymore about things. I think we're all like little ants, all running around trying to do this, trying to do that. We all run by the clock. I don't run by the clock anymore. My family's more relaxed. They don't panic and run about so much, have to be here, there. Take it slower. Appreciate every day you're here, making the most of it. Like everybody, you don't know how long you've got, do you? When a person experiences and survives a heart attack, it's common for that event, that day, to change them and those closest to them. The day that Jesus rose from the dead and walked out of the tomb 3 days later after being crucified is the day that changed all of human history for all people for all time. And there's four changes that happen to us as a result of the resurrection. And there are change in perspective, change in purpose, a change in priorities, and it's a change in place. The change in perspective comes in how we view God. Parts of how the Bible portrays God and much of how society even portrays God is that God is a distant, judgmental, angry, apathetic, perhaps even a non-existent God. Think about the Abraham story. Part of the story goes like this. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on the mountain I will show you. So in this story, we see a demanding God who requires us to sacrifice our firstborn in order to please him. Even if Abraham knew that this was a test, in Abraham's mind, the test wasn't, am I willing to sacrifice my son? But the test, I think he was thinking, was, will I actually sacrifice my son? It's important to note that Christianity, Islam, and Judaism all share the same first five books of the Bible as part of our holy writings. So the Abraham story is also the Abraham story in Islam, and it is also the Abraham story in Judaism. All the rules and regulations that we read in Deuteronomy are the same ones that they are reading. And as each religion continued to develop over time, we see that Islam and Judaism continue to believe that a person is saved by what they do. They need to earn their salvation through behavior. When it comes to Christianity, you don't earn your way. God paves the way. Ephesians 2:8 and 9, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." The way to God, the way to salvation, the way to eternal life was paved through Jesus' death and resurrection. If Jesus had stayed dead, then there is no way for us to get to God. It is only in his resurrection that we have access to God. And our perspective, then, of God has changed by understanding that God is no longer the one who demands sacrifice, but he is a God who provides a sacrifice. And even more than that, it is God himself who is the sacrifice. There still may be times when we feel God is distant or angry or judgmental, but when we look at this Easter story, we see that our perspective changed. We find a God who is loving, gracious, merciful, powerful, involved, and caring. We find a God who no longer requires sacrifices because he is a God who provides the ultimate sacrifice. This is the God that we want you to know. A second change that happens on this Easter story is our purpose. Matthew 4:18-22. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Peter, Andrew, James, John's purpose in life was clear. They were born to fish. Well, I don't know if that's what they thought. Commercial fishing is much different than recreational fishing. I personally think fishing is great fun, but if I had to do it for a living, I'm not sure how much fun I would think it is. For anyone who fishes on any amount of time, we know that fishing does not mean catching. And if you had to fish for a living, I may be thinking to myself, there's got to be more to my life than to catch fish. Fishing was Peter, Andrew, James, and John's work. It was their career. Maybe they did think that was their purpose in life, was to fish. For many, their work, their career, is the answer to the question, what is your purpose? To fish, to farm, to be a business owner, to be a nurse, to be in medicine, to be in finance, to be a pastor, to be a truck driver, to make a living, to earn money, to provide for my family, to pay the bills, to squeak out a living, to be wealthy. Whatever a person does for work or career, some may say, that is my purpose. Or a person may say that their purpose is found in some kind of relationship that they have in life. That is, a person may say, my purpose is to be a child, to be a parent, to be a grandparent, a spouse, a sibling, an aunt, an uncle, or a friend. And the list could go on, include finding purpose in being a volunteer, a good neighbor, an active church member, a community leader, a justice advocate, a dog walker, a cat sitter, or whatever it may be. Lots of different relationships that we can find in our purpose. Maybe a person's purpose is found in what they like to do. My purpose in life is to play baseball, or to watch football, or to travel the world, to see the sights, to collect the collectibles, to have a flower garden, to solve the puzzle, to surf the internet, to go out for coffee, to make art, to make music, to cook for others, to make my lawn green. On and on and on, the list could go. I had always thought that people needed to come to faith to find their purpose. And what I've realized is they don't. People find purpose in their life without faith all the time. All the time. Faith in Christ in the Easter story does not mean we need to get rid of any of these parts of our life. I want you to hear me. Faith in Christ in the Easter story doesn't mean we get rid of them. We are still going to do any and all of those activities. What has changed, though, now, is that we see these parts of life can help us to live out our true purpose, which is to fish for people. Tricky how Jesus did that with the fishermen. Now, that may not resonate with everyone, so here's how Paul puts it. 2 Corinthians 5, 18 through 21. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed us to the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be the sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus' life, death, and resurrection has paved the way for us to be reconciled with God. And in so doing, Jesus has changed the purpose of all who have placed their faith in him. As we have connected with God, as we have been reconciled to God, then our purpose is to help others connect to God, help others to be reconciled to God as well. Our work, our relationships, our hobbies, all then can achieve our true purpose, which is helping people be connected to God. A third change in our life that happens as a result of this Easter story is our priorities change. We see some of this change that Jesus talks about in parts of his teaching throughout his ministry years, quoting him a number of different times, Luke 9, for it is the one who is the least among you who is the greatest. Luke 22, those who are the greatest among you should take the lowest rank. The leader should be like a servant. Matthew 16, if you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it, but if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And then Matthew 6, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Priorities change when Christ is in our life. To be great is to be least. To lead means to serve. And then we see clearly our top priority is to seek the kingdom of God. The Old Testament puts it this way. And now, Israel, people of God, followers of God, believers in Jesus, what does the Lord require, your Lord your God, require of you? He requires only that you fear the Lord your God and live in a way that pleases him and love him and serve him with all your heart and soul. The change in priority for our life is to do what pleases God. Doing what pleases God is not our natural instinct. Naturally, we will do what pleases us. We are born this way. Watch a toddler, a child, a preteen, a teenager, a young adult, or any adult. Watch anybody at any time. If they are left to their own natural decision-making process, they will, we will, I will, just do whatever pleases me. If I do what pleases another person, then it's because perhaps I've been trained to do so or raised to do so, or perhaps I'm dating that other person or I'm married to them. If we are not out to do what pleases us, then we are out trying to please our spouse or our kids, or maybe we're trying to please our church or the pastor. If it isn't any of those people in your life, maybe you're trying to please your boss or your manager or your company owner. Maybe you're trying to please your neighbor or your political party or just anybody that you look up to that tells you to do one thing or another. It's easy to try to please others when we want those others to think well of us. Jesus also had human desires, and his human instinct would be to do what pleases him, but what we see with Jesus before going to the cross, Jesus prayed, God, not my will be done, but your will. And as a result of doing what pleases God in that moment, when Jesus had as his highest priority the kingdom of God to please his Father in heaven, Jesus did suffer extraordinary, unbelievable suffering. But then he was able to experience resurrection. He was able to replace his human body for a heavenly body. Doing what pleases God brought Jesus to a place that only God could bring him. When we understand that will be true for us as well, then our priorities change. When we understand that doing what pleases God will bring us to a place that only God can bring us, then our priorities change. Pleasing God becomes our number one priority. While it is God whom I want to please, often pleasing others in our life will also be pleasing God. So it's good to serve your spouse. It's good to put your children above you. It's good to follow through on assignment from your boss. It's good to be part of a church's ministry and so on. However, when there is a conflict, when pleasing another isn't in sync with pleasing God, then our priority is clear. We are to first seek God's kingdom. We are to first do what pleases God. The fourth change that happens in our life as a result of Jesus' resurrection is our place in eternity. This is the heart of the Easter story. This is the heart of the Christian faith. We are no longer condemned. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Everyone is going to be someplace for all of eternity. Either they will be separated from God, a place that we call hell. It is hell to be separated from God. This is also known as death. Or we will be with God for all of eternity. This is called heaven. There is not a better place or state of being when we are closely connected to God. This is also known as paradise. Our eternal place changed as the result of Easter and by placing our faith in Jesus Christ when we accept that gift that God offers us. You see, just because something happened in history, it doesn't mean that it has an impact on you. For a person to be impacted by a heart attack, they either have to know someone who had the heart attack or the heart attack happened to them. A heart attack by a stranger has no impact on you. Jesus' resurrection is as much of a historical fact, an actual event in history, as any other event in history. And while it does change all of human history, it may not change your life or an individual life until that person responds to it. In order to get the change of perspective, priorities, purpose, and place that Jesus brings, one must be willing to change. Jesus puts it this way in Mark 1:15, repent and believe the good news. In order to get the change, be willing to change. Turn from your self-directed life and accept the Easter story as God's love for you. Often people don't change, don't do that, don't repent, thinking that they need to believe first. People think they need to understand it all. They need to understand everything that's in this book. They need to have all of their questions answered. And that becomes a stumbling block for people. But we see with Jesus, he says, first repent, first desire a change in your life, and then believe. Belief comes. Understanding comes over time. You will grow in that, and then you will see the change in your life. Today, today is the day for you. This is a moment for you right now to decide to repent and to pray out to God in your heart and your mind. If this is something you want, you're sensing it, this is the prayer in your heart and your mind. Jesus, I see that you are the way to God. Forgive me for the things that I have done that have separated me from you. I accept your gift of eternal life, of salvation that comes through Jesus who died on the cross and rose from the grave. Thank you for paving the way for me to be with you, God. Amen. If you had done that, I'm just asking you to find me after the service or someone else and let them know. We want to pray with you again and encourage you. When a person comes to faith, there is a big change. There is a big change. If you are someone who already has faith, and that is my sense, the majority of you here today, then as I think about this Easter day, it is for you to be reminded of the change that we have. We are to embrace the change. And this is what I would encourage you, to expand your perspective. We have an eternal God that continue to be known, and there's deeper sides of God that you have yet to understand or explore. So expand your perspective of God. To deepen your purpose. To reorient your priorities. Culture pulls us on our different priorities all the time, and we need to be reoriented as people of faith. And then to be secure in your place. Secure. Death has been defeated. Our place will be with God in paradise. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are. This day, God, oh my goodness. Christmas, he was born and to live, to die, to pave the way. A day that changed all of eternity, that changed our life. We thank you for your love, for your grace, for your mercy. Encourage us in our faith. Help us to grow and to live it out. We pray in your name. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Joel. Please stand with me as you're able. And we're going to sing one more song. We're going to proclaim to each other this morning and proclaim with the saints that have come and gone that Christ lived, he died, and that 3 days later he rose again. And he stands in victory and we stand with him. Amen? Amen. Let's sing together, church.
Cause you lived and you died, and you said in 3 days you would rise. You did, you're alive. You rule and you reign, and you said you're coming back again. I know that you will, and all the earth will sing your praises. And all the earth will sing your praises. And you took, and you take our sins away, oh God. You gave your life away for us. You came down, chains because of your great love. You lived, you died, you said in 3 days you would rise. You did, you're alive. You rule, you reign, you said you're coming back again. I know that you will, and all the earth will sing your praises. We'll sing your praises.
You took and you take.
Cause you took and you take our sins away, oh God. And you give and you gave your life away for us. You came down and you saved us cross. Our hearts are changed because of your great love. You lived and you died and you said in 3 days you would rise. You did, oh, you're alive. You rule and you reign. You said you're coming back again. I know that you will. All the earth will sing your praises. And all the earth will sing your praises. And all the earth will sing your praises.
There may be some here who would not consider themselves a person of faith. You may not be convinced that Christianity is the way to go, that Jesus is the Son of God, and all of that. You may not want your perspective changed about God. You're an agnostic. You have purpose in your life, and your priorities are just fine in your mind, and there's no worry about that place because you're convinced that neither heaven or hell exists. Not sure if someone here is thinking any of that, but there could be. And I actually don't think that I can convince people to change, especially if they don't want to change. But here's my appeal. How is your sense of peace? You see, the fifth area in our life that changes as a result of the Easter story and when we come to faith is that we have a deep sense of peace. A person goes from little to no peace to having deep, unending peace. When Jesus rose from the grave, we now have peace with God and peace with ourselves. And if that is what you're looking for in life, peace. You've got your priorities, you've got your purpose, you've got, but I want peace. I'd say come see me again. You can email, call, text. My information is in the bulletin. Anytime. Peace. That's the fifth area that changes in our life. Here's the benediction. May the peace of God, which exceeds anything we can understand, guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus, our risen Savior and Lord. Amen. Amen. He is risen. Amen. Thank you for joining us, parents. Go to your kids. Easter egg hunt. Treats out. Please stay as long as you can. Thank you for coming.